Welcome back to our next episode of Nuggets on the Go. Today is the first recording of 2022. So happy new year to you, and we hope that you had a great 2021. Today we want to talk about this particular topic about volume, transaction, density of a project and how it affects the valuation and price appreciation over the years. Because once you understand about this particular key factor relating to real estate in Singapore, we'll then have a better understanding on what are some of the key differences when we're trying to decide between buying a 99 years property or freehold property. Because in Singapore, our property valuation behaves a little bit differently. We spoke about this about 3 years back during 2018 when we had our first episode of Investor Series. You can look back at that one where I was still wearing a coat. I was just filming at the back door of our media office in one of our first few offices in Bugis. I want to revisit that topic again because some things have changed, and of course we have different tools right now in terms of our PRB analytics tools, but the very key fundamental idea behind volume, transaction and density of a project is because in Singapore, when we look at how valuation is being determined, firstly from the valuer point of view and the bank's point of view, this will give us a clear idea on whether end of the day is really 99 years very important, is really freehold very important when we are selecting a condominium or apartment status project. Before we talk about the main topic proper, I want to bring your attention to this new tool that we have, and it's available for everyone to visit our propertyinbrothers.com website. So all you need to do is just to click on this insights button, so hover your mouse over it, scroll down a little bit, and then you will find that you actually have four different tabs right here. So of course if you click on the first tab and you head into insights, that's going to bring you to our article bank where you'll be able to look at different articles where we talk about our research and of course our writings and analytics on some of the key things when it comes to signing and buying a property. When you go back, click on mortgage calculator, that's going to bring you to tools that you can calculate your mortgage as well. And of course, we have some further tools also, but I want to bring your attention to the second one, which is the analytics button. So once you click in, there is this tool that you can utilize on your free time or you're just trying to do some research. You will be able to enjoy this tool for free. So this is something that we want to share with all our audiences when you come to our propertyinbrothers.com website. So basically what we have done is that our data team, we have consolidated data over the past 10 years, and you will be able to come here, track back from 2011 all the way to current date. We want to look at some of the properties that has been launched year on year basis across different districts. So just for example, if I were to click on 2011, what this is going to show me is that it's going to automatically rank by the percentage change in terms of the per square foot change from the date that it was launched to today's pricing, which is basically we want to look at the PSF transacted in the latest sale year. Let's take for example, please omit the first one because Eunosville has been on block. The project has already been on block and completed. So this data, it takes into consideration the key transaction volume and API. For example, let's take a look at this Scala. All right. So Scala launched in the year 2011 and then latest transacted year was in 2021. And if you look at the percentage change, that's about 40.4% in terms of PSF percentage change from the date of launch till date. So over the 10 years period, PSS has moved up to 40.4% price appreciation. Okay, going back to Eunosville, I suddenly recall which project is that. So it has been on block into U Habitat. All right, so I just suddenly had a brain freeze. I'm so sorry. All right, so it has been on block to U Habitat. Of course, don't take that into consideration because that was based on the on block per square foot pricing. If we were to scroll down a little bit, look at Waterfront Gold, District 16, launch year 2011 at $939 average launch PSF. Now, averagely is transacting at about 1,002 plus. Of course, a disclaimer is that per square foot that is shown right here is a median per square foot. Per square foot is very different when we talk about bedroom 1, 2, 3 and 4 bedders, because bigger units, theoretically, they transact at a slightly lower median PSF compared to smaller units like 1 bedder and 2 bedder. They transact at a much higher PSF because the quantum is smaller. So there are some differences in that. So basically, what does this help to serve you in your research when you're hunting for a property? Basically, you want to look at projects to see how are they performing in terms of appreciation, because this is actually a reverse effect. Even though, let's say a project has appreciated by a certain percentage over the years, this will actually tell you the psychology of the existing owners that are still currently holding onto their properties in those projects. Because for example, if somebody has purchased a property at, let's say, $1,000 per square foot 10 years ago, and then right now is at about $1,500 per square foot, the existing owners are actually sitting on paper gain that has not been unlocked or utilized because they're still holding on to the properties right there. So what does this tell you about the psychology of the existing owner? That is that, firstly, they are not urgent to sell because they know that they are sitting on appreciated property value. Number two, some of the owners might have gone through a refinance process to extract equity out of that, which then tells you that they might be holding onto their property for a longer term or a more midterm. Thirdly, is that maybe the owners, because of the holding power in terms of still owning the properties that has already appreciated, they are not in an urgent need to sell at depressed prices or maybe distressed prices should there be an economic downturn, for example. So this actually tells you the confidence level of the existing owners right there. It tells you also about the holding power of the existing owners right there. You want to have this in one of your checkboxes when selecting a property. Some projects, they have seen maybe a downtrend in terms of their per square foot changes over the past couple of years, over the past 10 years, 2011 until 2021. What does this mean is that it means two things. Number one, the owners right there, maybe because of the fact that they have not seen a rise or a gain in their per square foot. Firstly, also, they are not motivated to sell, and that could also result in a lower transaction volume because they don't want to sell at a price that is lower than their purchase price. Number two is that for you to look at this, it is also a very good chance to study these properties in depth a little bit more, because this could also mean that in the next 3, 5, 8 to 10 years, these properties might have a higher chance to grow as well because they has not been moving for the past 5 to 10 years, and maybe the per square foot pricing of the surrounding projects, surrounding new launches around all these developments is already at a higher threshold or a higher per square foot benchmark. And that could mean that if you were to enter into these projects after studying other factors, that could be a higher chance for you to appreciate faster, or maybe that could be a chance for you to appreciate a little bit more. So there are, of course, various kind of permutations that could happen. Most importantly is that when you scroll down, you click on different project launch years, you can also further dive into several districts like District 2, 3, all the way to District 28 for you to study the price action movement. We think that this will give you a little bit more better insight to see specifically on some of the projects that has the highest gain or the highest losses. So that's all about this tool, and we want to let you come back and enjoy. Anytime that you want to refresh it back to the entire Singapore, just click on the refresh button. You will come back, reload the page. You get to see 2011, all the projects in Singapore in different districts. You can click on 2012 as well. Hope you enjoy the tool. And now let's move on to our topic proper. For our topic, basically, we want to talk about this very important question that a lot of people will usually hover and ask about, which is buying 99 years versus freehold or maybe 999 years. Which one is better? Should I go straight cut into freehold properties or 999 property, or should I go straight cut into 99 property? And what are the key fundamental differences? Let me just bring out this chart from 99.co. So basically, you'll be surprised to know that actually in Singapore, a lot of properties and the projects in Singapore, they are largely freehold. And 99 years actually has evolved over the past 30 years. In fact, right now, over the past 10 years, most of the launches, and I would say almost all the launches, government land sales, they are all 99 years in nature. For freehold projects, brand new launch to happen in the market, definitely it has to undergo an en bloc process for that to happen. So 99 years, of course, over the past 30 years, it has gained a lot of popularity. A lot of people own 99 years properties, and in fact, the stigma in the past of 99 years property has already been vanished, I would say. But the key fundamental difference here is that in Singapore, the way we look at whether to buy a 99 years property or a freehold property, it has to be based on several other factors. And I need to bring out the moat analysis. So what is the moat analysis? Let me just show you our moat analysis. All right, so this is our PLB condominium moat analysis. Just wanted to share with you about a few key points that we talk about. So when you are deciding whether between 99s or freehold properties, it's very important to note that in Singapore, the very first thing that we want to look at is we want to look at this thing called the volume effect, because the volume effect basically pertains to many different factors. So for example, let's say when you want to purchase a property, the very first thing that you need to do is that you need to call your bankers, because you need to make sure that whatever price that the seller is asking for, it has a valuation to support the asking price. So for example, let's say you have seen this condominium, $2 million, 3-bedder, you love it a lot and you want to make an offer. Before you even put down the 1% option fee, you must call your banker to ask whether does the valuation support the asking price of $2 million. When you call your banker, they will usually ask you a few key questions. They will ask you for the full address, unit number, the number of bedrooms, and they will ask you the size of it. And then they will do their background check with the valuer that works with the banks closely. So of course, when you call different banks, you get different results. Before making an offer, it's very important to firstly talk to your own relationship manager if you are a loyal customer of a certain bank. If not, of course, you can call various different banks to ask for a fair valuation. And this is what we call the desktop valuation, because if you want a very quick result, everybody goes through a desktop valuation. And why is the desktop valuation important? Is because when you get the desktop valuation from that particular bank, when you want to get a loan, in the event if you were to successfully purchase a property, that bank is going to honor the valuation that they quoted you for that particular property. So let's say this bank calls back and said, hey, okay, I did the desktop valuation for the property that you intend to buy, and we can match $2 million. Now, what does that mean is that you can then safely go ahead to make an offer for that $2 million property. The bank is going to be able to loan you 75% of that valuation. And of course, your 25% will be the down payment that you need to pay. Before you even do that as well, you need to go to the second step, is to make sure that you have an approval in principle that's already been completed before you even put down the down payment. But that's another topic altogether. But coming back to the valuation sequence, is that because of this sequence, it is extremely important to know the valuation before you even purchase for a property. Because, for example, if all the banks call back and say, hey, Melvin, I can only match $1.8 million. That means if you want to go ahead and buy the $2 million property, that 200K difference from 1.8 to 2 mil, you have to top up in cash, because no bank is going to match up to 2 mil and to loan you the 75% of the 2 mil. They are going to loan you 75% of the $1.8 million valuation that they have quoted to you. So it's an extremely important process. And this translates to the topic that we're going to talk about, which is the valuation, volume, transaction volume, and the density of the property. So in the first place, how did the banks come back with this valuation of 1.8 mil or 2 mil? Is that they're going to look at all the transactions that has happened over the past 6 to 12 months of this particular project that you're talking about. If they were to see that there are a range of transactions, then it's easier for the bank to come back with a determined valuation. They can also help you to stretch the valuation if you really saw a property that you love. Maybe this property is a very unique penthouse, but there has not been enough penthouse transaction, but there has been a lot of 3-4 betas transactions over the past year. Then they'll be able to help you to also determine, based on that penthouse valuation, how big is the roof terrace and things like that, using that calculation and of course their regression approach or hedonic approach. Then they can come back with valuation with a host of transactions. But if let's say this project that you're trying to purchase a unit from does not have enough transaction volume, maybe over the past 12 months there's only one transaction, then very likely the bank and the valuer that they are working with are going to base the valuation that they're quoting you on that one particular transaction. So transaction volume in Singapore is extremely important, because the more transactions there are, the better and easier it is for the banks and valuers to quote you the valuation. So what does that mean for you when you are a buyer and you are selecting between A project or B project or C project? Is that on top of looking at the 99 years the freehold tenure, you need to look at the amount of volume of transaction that happen on a year-on-year basis. Because if you're entering into a project with very little volume, then very likely in terms of price movement is going to be not as buoyant as projects with a large number of volume. It acts a little bit similar to how stock counter works as well. So for example, let's sidetrack a little bit. If let's say you're trying to invest in two different stocks, right? And you look at this stock number A, it has a very tepid volume over the past 3 years compared to this stock, which has a very high volume over the past 3 years. Very likely speaking is that the stock counter with a higher level of transaction volume, with people purchasing and selling, it has a better popularity. People are more interested in that stock. So the chances of it, of course, appreciating is also much higher. Stocks is a very different so-called like comparison compared to property, because it is, of course, more volatile, because it's very liquid, it's very sensitive to market news and market situation and recession or the economy booming and stuff like that, which is also a host of different topics. But when we look at property transactions, it is then very different. So let's have a look at project A and project B. Project A, maybe there's only about 50 units here. And over the past 1 year, maybe there's only one transaction, because maybe the existing owners here are very comfortable with the project and they are not selling it. And maybe over the past 1 year, one transaction. Compared to project B with 500 units, over the past 1 year, maybe there are, let's say, 30 over transactions. Now, what is potentially going to happen is that This 30 transaction in a normal stabilized market is going to see a gradual uptrend because a transaction volume in a project has to deal with human psychology. So what do I mean by human psychology is that, let's say for example, I am an owner of one of the three beta in project B. I intend to sell my property, but before I sell my property, I'm going to look at, over the past 6 to 12 months, how many three beta owners have successfully exited from a project. And I want to see what price has my neighbor sold. So I go on to public data, URA, or maybe I go to HPROP and things like that. Let's have a look. So in a normal market, or maybe in a seller's market, in an uptrend market, what we're going to see is that if, let's say, I want to sell my three beta and I know my neighbor that is one level below me that has just successfully sold last month and they have sold at, let's say, $1.8 million. I that has the similar size unit, also three beta, and I'm, let's say, one level on top of my neighbor, I definitely don't want to sell at $1.8 million. I don't want to sell at the same price as my neighbor because the market is doing okay. I want to try and put my asking price at maybe $1.95. I want to try and hit $1.9 million. So that would be my psychology. And when I do that, basically, it raises the asking price of the three beta in the entire development. And it will spur on the effect to other owners that might want to put their property in the market as well. So this is the human psychology effect that we will see when there are enough units and there's a large number of units right there in the development. So if I were to successfully list at 1.95 and eventually, maybe I successfully exited at $1.88 million, which is higher than my neighbor who has transacted at $1.8 million. I'm going to raise the valuation of the entire project by this level. And then maybe 2 months later, somebody else with the same layout, around the same size as me, they might want to exit as well. And they saw my transaction at 1.88, my neighbor's transaction at 1.8. Then maybe they now want to try for a higher price and they're starting to ask at $2 million negotiable. And they managed to exit at, let's say, $1.91 million. That's then also going to raise the valuation as well in an uptrend or maybe in a stable market. So when that happened, the gradual progression of valuation increase happens, and the next owner technically benefited from our transactions. So basically speaking, the valuation will then rise because valuers and bankers take the transaction figures from the past 12 months to determine what will be the valuation that they can match following on for other units in the same project. And sadly, of course, to say is that in Singapore, most of the time, a high percentage of determining the valuation of projects, let's say project A, B, or C, is that the huge influence will come from the transactions that happen in that project itself and not as much as what is happening in the surrounding projects. So most of the time, banks and valuers, they look at what has happened within that same project. The key rationale is because every project is so different. The number of units is different. Project status is different in terms of tenure. The age is different. The demographics is different. The sizes and layout are all different. So the easiest way and the most fundamental way for valuers and banks to look at valuation is to look at the transaction figures and performance of that particular project. So compared to project A with 50 units, one transaction, if I, let's say I want to exit, then most of the time banks and valuers, they might only look at that one transaction figure as a threshold. Because of a low transaction volume, maybe sometimes over a period of 5, 10, 8 years, the level of per square foot movement might be pretty tepid in a sense. In Singapore, it's not just about 99 years freehold or 999. It's actually more about the amount of volume of transaction that relates and correlates to the density of the project in terms of the number of units, which can then affect the transaction volume and price gradual movement. So this is the very important thing that everybody will need to so-called put in one of the decision factors when you select a project. Of course, there are pros and cons in living in a huge development versus a boutique project. Boutique project, you have more privacy. Most of the time, depending on districts, most of the freehold projects, they are boutique developments. Of course, there are large-scale freehold projects as well. But most of the 99 years project actually belonging, if let's say it happens through a government land sales, they will be large scale developments. So sometimes you might see a very strange result is that maybe in the same district, this large size 99 years project maybe has a higher price per square foot compared to a Baltic freehold project in terms of per square foot. Maybe this is doing at about 1,006 PSF, but a freehold Baltic project that is nearby to this 99 is doing at about 1,003. That might be a $300 per square foot difference. And that is extremely common in Singapore. The key rationale is, of course, based on the reason that we have just shared with everybody. All right, so that is just one factor on our mode analysis, which is called the volume effect. And before we end off, we want to share with you on a Balas curve. So the Balas curve basically looks at 99 projects based on this price trend. So in Singapore, there are a few key things to take note is that at a point of 60-year mark, you have to take note that once it... Somebody is shouting downstairs. Okay. So you have to take note that once your property balance lease drops below 60 years, the next buyer that wants to buy, they will have a slightly more limited amount that they can utilize in terms of a CPF withdrawal limit. So you definitely want to take note of that 60-year mark. If any properties that you're purchasing and has a balance lease of below 30 years, what's going to happen is that no banks will then loan if, let's say, there's a balance lease of 30 years and below. So these two are something on the Balas curve that you want to take note of when you're entering into 99's development. But of course, a lot of properties has also defied the odds. I mean, you just look at, example, this beautiful project called Mandarin Gardens. I mean, even though now it's below the 60-year-old trash mark, the price has still appreciated in the recent past 2 years. I think one of the key reasons is because the per square foot is low compared to its surrounding new launches, compared to its surrounding projects. The project is huge in nature, high volume of transaction, very family-friendly. A lot of families love Mandarin Gardens, and the size and layout is extremely huge within every unit itself. So it has a very strong popularity and demand continuously. I think the mindset is that a lot of people think that with a same quantum, if they would go and buy maybe a newer project, they can only go for a smaller size. But if they come to Mandarin Garden, even though the lease tenure is slightly lower, but they can enjoy a huge size, huge project for their family and kids to enjoy. So there are so many factors involved, right? And today we're basically just talking about two, which is the volume effect as well as the Balas curve effect. So hope you enjoy this episode where we start to dive into our PLB mode analysis. We're going to talk about mode analysis analytics further on in our Nuggets on the Go as well. We hope you benefited from this session. My name is Melvin, Property Lin Brothers as always. We'll see you on the next episode of NOTG. Let's go.